this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, coming to you live here on Real Liberty Media. And we are ready to do another show this week. Hope you guys all enjoy it. I guess I have as much fun doing it. I guess that's probably all that's important, hey? Okay, so, man, I got a bunch of stuff to get to. I'm going to talk about a little bit of personal stuff, just the stuff we did this week, a little stargazing, watching the Perseid meteor shower. And that was pretty fun. The moon was up, you know, when we first, you know, I had the grandkids over, so we all slept outside, which was cool. And it's kind of funny, they were all in tents, and I slept out on the ground, and it was a little bit like the marine layer kind of moved in a little bit, almost caused us to not be able to view the sky. But just after dark, it was kind of like this area opened up, and it just stayed open long enough for us to watch the skies for a bit. And then the kids all fell asleep. That was funny. They were all asleep before I went to sleep, and I go to sleep really fast. So anyway, we didn't see a whole lot like before we all went to sleep. But, man, I woke up about 4 in the morning, which I do anyway. And I was watching the sky. It was so clear, and the moon had set, so it was really dark. And I saw lots of meteors in that little time period there. So that was kind of cool. Anyway, had a nice sleepover. I hope the grandkids all liked it. And we do that every year, so it's kind of cool. And it's kind of funny, I actually, you know, they're young. They're all under, well, no, one is 15. And the other 4 that spent the night are all 10 or below. Well, it was kind of funny. I said, yeah, we do this every year. And they said, we do this every year. And I go, don't you remember? Every year we lay out and watch the meteor shower, the Perseid meteor shower. And one of them kind of didn't really remember that we did that. I mean, they knew that we had a sleepover once in a while, but you know how time is when you're a kid. You don't really realize you do that every year. And every year in the same month, you know, because the Perseids last about a month. And actually, we were a week after the peak viewing or peak number of meteors. But still, we saw a lot of stuff and had fun. You know, the grandkids all played until it got dark and even after that a little bit. And then we, you know, of course, we had burgers and hot dogs for dinner. And the fun thing was that was Thursday night, and Friday they all had dental appointments at my office. And of course I don't work Fridays. I have a doc come in. She's a child doc. So they all had dental appointments. So they had to get up and get out of there by 8 o'clock, get up and get out of here by 8 o'clock, which was funny. So at 6:30 in the morning, my wife and I played Reveille over the Block Rocker speaker. It was nice and loud. And she was beating a garbage can lid like in boot camp. It was pretty hilarious. And I videotaped them all waking up. So that was pretty fun. Anyway, man, I had some interesting thoughts this week. I'm going to go over some stuff just to... I think my goal is to make understanding the whole COVID thing a little easier. Now, at first, this is not going to seem easy. But if you go to the show notes for today's show and you look at this one graph, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But basically, I went back to the COVID map I used in the beginning of this lockdown. When this thing first started, I would go to that worldwide graph, which is kind of interesting now that I think about it, that like all of a sudden, you know, as soon as we're in lockdown, actually before we went to lockdown in March, you know, there was this graph that everybody referred to. And it was a graph by country, even by counties, by states. Oh, hi, Beth. This graph is really interesting. And at first, every single day, I would take a screenshot of this graph because I was thinking, okay, I'm going to kind of document this, whatever is going on, and so I can go back and look at it. And I wanted to have some graphical representation of what was going on in the world. So I would visit this graph every day, and I tried to do it at the same time every day and take a screenshot. So I actually even made videos where I just played day after day, one day on top of another, and I had a little transition. So, and the photo, the image perfectly centered, so every day you could see the gains or losses. Well, anyway, I went back to that graph and kind of because I have a pretty strong math background. It was probably one of the subjects I was really good at in college. And I remember talking about like the slope of a graph or the slope of a line and what that indicated. And basically, the slope of the line, it kind of gives you a rate of increase or a rate of decrease. And so I went back to this graph. Now, I haven't visited it for months. In fact, I can tell you honestly, it's been probably about a year since I've seen this graph. Maybe sometime in the last year I might have looked at it for some reason, but I quit doing the daily screenshots, I think, when we were allowed to go back to work, which was just a couple minutes, really. I mean, a couple months after the initial lockdown. But this is what I want to kind of share with you about that graph. Kind of the graph will tell you about everything you need to know about the COVID disease and the jab effectiveness. And I have a bunch of stuff to talk about this whole thing. I think I'm kind of thinking about doing a YouTube video, just calling out YouTube and basically calling them liars and calling on them because they support liars. This whole media thing where somebody else determines what's the truth and what's not the truth and who gets to talk and who doesn't really kind of is irritating. And of course, I know my video would get blocked, but I'm just having fun with this whole media thing anyway. Let's talk about Linux for a minute and the whole Jack thing. Man, I made some terrific progress with Jack this last week. And but then I have a little audio problem with my mic, so I'm not using Jack right now. When I get that audio from my mic cleaned up, figure out how to get that passed through so that it doesn't go. Fun home studio stuff, I guess. I'm going to have to start putting animals in kennels or something. No, I won't do that. They don't really bother it that much. But, okay, so what I was talking about Jack and Linux and audio, the whole thing. Man, when I figured out what it was that was holding me up, I actually started thinking, okay, that's why there's not good tutorials on this Linux Jack studio system, is because this one part is so simple, yet really, it's just really simple. Anyway, and I'll probably do a tutorial on it from the redneck dentist point of view anyway, because the one thing that everybody kind of doesn't talk about is the one thing you really need to know. That's so funny. And trust me, I think I've looked at every single tutorial, either text or video. I think I've watched every single one you could look at, and none of them actually, you know, kind of explains it. But anyway, let's get on with this. Okay, so I looked at the COVID graph again. You'll see that the graph, okay, so I'm going to put the source of the graph is going to be in the show notes. Please take a look at it just to see what I'm talking about. But it's going to become pretty clear to you that what this graph shows is that what many of us already know is that the jab isn't working. It didn't work. It's never worked. So I don't know how anybody can say that the jabs are effective. All you have to do is look at these graphs and you will see it doesn't matter that the jab became available or not. It didn't really make much of an effect on this graph at all. You'll see that there was an initial kind of a very steep incline to the number of cases and the number of deaths. And of course, there's a really steep incline on the number of jabs. So those three graphs you're going to be able to see in this one image. I hope that it takes you to the image the way I actually view it, because there's some options there. You can kind of select to see the graph different ways, but I put the path in, and that path was copied from the very image I was using. So hopefully that will help you out. But here's what I'm trying to say, and it's kind of funny. I was listening to a show, and the show was from August 18th, but I was listening to it the night before last, and I was listening to one of those people who, you know, doesn't support any of these, conspiracy theories, or doesn't support any of the negative talk about vaccines. But it was kind of interesting because what that person said, man, I could go line by line and point to source material, what he was calling fake news or conspiracy theory. I have the documentation to show that it's true. This is an example. These graphs are an example. You'll see a graph on the left that are one-year data compilations. From top to bottom, those graphs are weekly cases, weekly deaths, and weekly doses. By the way, I would like to thank my geometry, algebra, and calculus professors who all at some point mentioned their classes would come in handy at some time in my life. So, do you see any trend in the graphs? I know you can't see them right now. After the initial onset of the disease, do you see any trend toward fewer cases or fewer deaths? I don't. Even after the jab, do you see any trend toward fewer cases or fewer deaths? No, you don't. This is the problem. This data, wherever it's collected from, I don't know who turns in this data, because for crying out loud, it's coming from all over the world. So, but just looking at the United States data, you can see that generally the number of cases and the number of deaths, slope of the line, continues in an upward trend. Yeah, there might have been a little bit of a leveling off, which could be attributed to a number of things. One is, you know, maybe you can only infect at a certain rate once the virus is in the population. This whole idea about Delta variants and Lambda variants and variants in general kind of also argues the case that this vaccine is not effective, that it didn't do what it should have done. And that's what happens when you rush through developing something. You know, you don't have the time to figure out all the details. I know that a lot of us agree that this, the whole thing is a fraud. I get that. But once you have figured out that, hey, this isn't working, you really should pull the plug on it. You really should just back off on the whole demanding vaccinations for everybody. I read a story today that says the CDC, I guess, the CDC is saying that if you don't get the booster, you're going to lose your vaccination status. So you won't be able to shop, or you won't be, you know, if you did get the jab and you were hoping that you would be able to get through, you know, daily activities with your little vaccination card, guess what? No, they're going to somehow invalidate that card and prevent you from participating in everyday life. Can't lose my train of thought here because I got so much. Oh yeah, so I say that you don't see any drop off of the number of cases or the number of deaths. And actually, I think that the world governments tried to make some. I think they actually tried to fudge. Of course, they tried to fudge the numbers a little bit because. In the first year of the pandemic, they counted every single respiratory death and deaths from other causes as COVID deaths, whether the patients had COVID or not. I think in many cases they didn't even know for sure. Oh yeah, that could be fake news. I don't really have a source for it. But I think what I'm trying to get at is then, and you know, as this year has progressed, and they want to make it look like their little jab is doing any good, well, one way to do that is to stop attributing all those other deaths to COVID and attribute them to something else. But even with that, it hasn't made a difference in these curves much at all. I mean, after these numbers got to a certain point, they're holding steady. They're not, I mean, they're actually, number of deaths is continuing to go up. And I would say number of cases generally continues to go up. And you see the number of vaccines drastically going up. Well, now kind of leveled off, I would assume. We'll know in a few months. But, you know, in order to make it look like the jab is being effective, all you have to do is subtract out all those deaths that you included the year before and you falsely attributed to COVID. Now you can take them back out and, you know, make it look like, you know, the vaccine is doing a good job. But I think it's all fake. Of course it's all fake. So I say the graph is either flat, which it's not, or actually climbing in both cases. See the massive increase in jabs and zero corresponding reaction. So when you see these, you know, where they have placed the number of vaccines, jabs, in the bottom graph, you won't see those two upper graphs, deaths and number of cases, change much at all. Does that not tell you all you need to know? In mathematics, we get a gist of the trend by laying a ruler. You can basically just lay a straight edge along the slope of the graph. You can kind of just eyeball it. Just put something straight up there and from the beginning to the end, you know, look at, well, is that ruler flat? Is it parallel with the ground? Is it pointing up to the right or down to the right? And that would tell you which way these trends are going. None of them are going down. So what this tells me is the jab is doing nothing to change the disease progression. It's useless. And last week, man, I kind of went on a little tirade about how nothing, the jab has done nothing. I could be wrong about that. But my point is, if it's not 100% doing what it's supposed to do, to me, it's basically worthless. If you say that, you know, 50% of the people who get the jab no longer are capable of getting COVID, well, then your jab sucks, because that's not what vaccines are meant to do. You know, vaccines are meant to protect the majority of the people if it doesn't kill them. Oh, I have a good case to share with you, too, about that. I don't think, no, this person didn't die, but it's an interesting case. Anyway, so last week I said a lot of things about the jab, and I kind of made absolute statements. It doesn't protect you from getting the virus. It doesn't protect you from spreading the virus. It doesn't, you know, shorten the course of having the virus. And I really believe that those things are true. People would argue the points with me, or my information would be blocked on all the social media sites who are, you know, controlling the information today. But what I'm saying is, what I was saying and what I mean is, that thing that they are jabbing people with is not effective enough to be mass, you know, jabbing the world population. It's just not. You know, if you're not somewhere in the 90% and above range, you shouldn't be doing it. As soon as they started this thing, and as soon as they started evaluating their results and realized that it's not doing a damn thing, they should have stopped. Now, there's only one reason I can really think of that they didn't stop. And that is because whatever they're putting in the population is not because they want to prevent COVID from spreading. They don't want it. They don't want to prevent COVID from killing people. They don't want to prevent COVID from making people sick. Because if they wanted all those things, well, this vaccine, this jab, is not the thing doing it. You know, and it's not like they have some other crap in the works. And you know what bothers me about this, of course, is that the jabs that they are creating, the ones that they're producing, came from, you know, the Chinese. The Chinese said, oh yeah, here, we have the solution for you. Just put this DNA, you know, whatever, together, and, you know, you'll have an effective vaccine. And it kind of seems a little bit weird to me. Yes, I think you would want the people who created the virus to actually have the solution to the disease available. And, yeah, they would probably be the ones most likely to be able to produce that. The problem is that if this was a biological weapon, which is my commentary on the whole thing, I believe it was a biological weapon, why would they create a vaccine for it? I mean, for their own people, maybe, I guess, if they wanted to protect their own population, but they sure as hell wouldn't produce a vaccine for the rest of the world. Oh my God. And you know, the other thing I was thinking is, there's only one way that the United States, the population of the United States, can be overthrown, and that is if the entire rest of the world comes for us. And I think that's kind of what's going on here. I think that's a very real possibility. Because I really don't believe anybody could invade the United States and actually conquer it, as long as, you know, we are all aware and ready to do battle, because there's just so many damn guns in this country and so many bullets in this country, and I think people would be willing to fight. But if you take the entire world against us, I think that's going to be a pretty quick battle and probably be over over pretty rapidly, and we wouldn't, we wouldn't win. And of course, the Chinese would love that. And I think, you know, the other thing is, you know, that would have been their goal with releasing this thing in the first place, is to weaken the United States, to get us looking at other stuff so that, you know, if they decided to take over or invade our country or with the rest of the world, kind of keep us, get us under their thumb, this would have been a good way to do it. So, let me see. I want to make sure I finish anything I had to say about those graphs. But you're going to get the idea. When you look at these graphs, follow my notes. It's really not that hard. Just look at the graph. Look at whether it's continuing to slope from right to left, if it's going up or going down or staying level. You're going to see clearly continues to go up. That jab is not effective. And for anybody to say that it is fake news. It's a lie. It's a flat-out lie. And for these social media platforms to continue to promote the idea that this jab is effective is just irresponsible. But that's where we are now, state-run media. Hey, on the Steve Dace Show, I don't know if you guys have ever heard that. It's on the Blaze. I listen to it once in a while, but mostly I look at some of his tweets. And he had a statement this week. It said, Sweden has suffered a grand total of 15 deaths with COVID in the last 7 weeks combined. Population 10.2 million, just 43% fully vaccinated. Never locked down. Lowest mask usage in the European Union. And like I said last week, I think that this disease is going to have to run its course. And it's running its course anyway, no matter what we're doing. With social distancing, masking, lockdowns, it doesn't matter. It's still doing its thing. You know, and now we're, you know, trying to enslave the children of the United States and the rest of the world by having them, you know, get the shot. It's just, you know, it's a frenzy to get the shot. That's it. And then I was thinking about this children's tale that a lot of our children they probably haven't heard. In fact, I asked my grandchildren if they'd heard of this, and they had not. So I'm going to have to break out one of the books and read it to them. This is The Emperor's New Clothes. This is just a synopsis, really, not the whole story. Although I would have liked to read the whole story. That would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? It says, two swindlers arrive at the capital city of an emperor who spends lavishly on clothing at the expense of state matters. Posing as weavers, they offer to supply him with magnificent clothes that are invisible to those who are stupid or incompetent. The emperor hires them, and they set up looms and go to work. A succession of officials and then the emperor himself visit them to check their progress. Each sees the looms are empty, but pretends otherwise to avoid being thought of as a fool. Finally, the weavers report that the emperor's suit is finished. They mime dressing him, and he sets off in a procession before the whole city. The townsfolk uncomfortably go along with the pretense, not wanting to appear inept or stupid, until a child blurts out that the emperor is wearing nothing at all. The people then realize that everyone has been fooled. Although startled, the emperor continues the procession, walking more proudly than ever. This reminds me of this whole COVID thing. It is the emperor's new clothes. You know, somebody is trying to sell the entire world population on this vaccine, the jab, and trying to tell everybody how great it is and how, you know, you can't participate in society unless you get this jab, and how much it's going to protect you and how much it's going to lessen disease and how much it's going to stop the spread. And yet we see week after week that what they say is absolutely not true. But kind of along with the emperor's new clothes, you're stupid. if you don't believe what they say. You're a fool if you don't believe what they say. They can't prove any of what they say. I mean, many people out there are collecting data that actually goes directly against what they say. Not only that, but I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. No, I'll do it now. Hang on. Kind of a little out of order, but yeah, natural immunity is best. So I have a link to this actual study. People who have recovered from COVID-19 retain broad and effective longer-term immunity to the disease, according to a new study. The researchers found that not only did the immune response increase with disease severity, but also with each decade of age, regardless of disease severity, suggesting that there are additional unknown factors influencing age-related differences in COVID-19 responses. The researcher, I think Ahmed, said investigators were surprised to see that convalescent participants also displayed increased immunity against, guess what, common human coronaviruses, as well as SARS, COVID-1, a close relative of the current coronavirus. The study suggests that patients who survived COVID-19 are likely to also possess protective immunity even against some SARS-CoV-2 variants. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it goes right along with what I have said about letting this disease run its course. And that it's going to anyway. And the jab is not as effective as natural immunity. See what this other story I have is, and again, all these sources are in the show notes. So it says, data suggests vaccines make limited difference in infectiousness of Delta variant. Vaccinated people infected with the Delta variant of the Chinese Communist Party virus, which causes COVID-19, may be as infectious as their unvaccinated counterparts. Like I said, does this jab do what they say? And no, it doesn't. Time and time again, we're going to see, as time goes on, and as some of these, I will call them, even though they're not really independent researchers, some of them are. I mean, some of them have to be. Because the ones who are getting state money, they can't do research which will prove that the jab is crap, because they'll lose their funding. You know, just like everything else in, you know, academia. If you want to get the money from the federal government, you have to do studies that, you know, go along with their agenda. And showing that this jab isn't effective is certainly not going to go along with their agenda. So you're going to lose the money if you do studies like this. It says the non-age stratified data indicate that while vaccination may reduce an individual's overall risk of becoming infected, once they are infected, there is limited difference in viral load between those who are vaccinated and those who are unvaccinated. So, you know, again, just another piece of information that shows us that what is said about this jab is not true. All right. Okay. Now, I ran across this website. It is a website. I may have mentioned it before, but I'm not 100% sure. It may be a completely different website, but it's a compilation of all of the things that prove that the whole COVID story, the whole COVID era, not only was planned, but there's so much proof out there. And every time some piece of evidence is uncovered, man, it'll disappear from the internet so fast. But luckily, there's a lot of people out there who are keeping that information, documenting it, and putting it out on all these alternate social media sites that people have to go to find it, or independent news sources that, you know, you have to go look for this stuff or you're not going to find it. I'm just going to read through some of these, and I hope you take time out. See, somebody sent me this link or provided this link to me, and you know, it seemed like it was really long, so I kind of blew it off at first, and then I thought, okay, I'm going to go read this thing, and I read through a lot of it, and I was pretty surprised. So I'm just going to give you some of it. In 2017, Anthony Fauci made a very strange prediction with an even stranger certainty. With complete confidence, Fauci guaranteed that during the first term of President Trump, a surprise outbreak of an infectious disease would surely happen. Here's what he said. There is no question there is going to be a challenge for the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases. Anthony Fauci said that. There will be a surprise outbreak. There's no doubt in anyone's mind about this. And then Bill and Melinda Gates guaranteed an imminent global pandemic. In 2018, Bill Gates publicly announced that a global pandemic was on its way that could wipe out 30 million people. He said this would probably happen during the next decade. Melinda Gates added that an engineered virus is humanity's greatest threat, and also assured that this would hit humanity in the coming years. Bill Gates is the world's number one vaccine dealer, who has doubled his fortune of $50 billion to over $100 billion simply by dealing in vaccines all over the world. He said this has to be his best business investment ever. A few months before the outbreak, Bill Gates organized an event in New York City called Event 201. Guess what that event was all about? It was about coronavirus pandemic exercise. And I covered this episodes ago here on Real Liberty Media and the Redneck Dennis Show. Think about this. The world's number one vaccine dealer guarantees a global pandemic to occur in the next few years. And his wife says we should all fear an engineered virus that is, quote, on its way. Then they organize an exercise for an imminent global pandemic and say vaccines will be the only solution, of course. Next, Bill Gates tweets how excited he is about selling vaccines in the next year. Immediately after that, the announced pandemic breaks out. If you'll remember back, they did that event 201. When did they do that? 2019, I think. They might have finished it, and then 2020, the pandemic hit. Okay. Now, as far as the jab goes, I mean, there are plenty of examples, plenty of cases where people have got the vaccine and had something horrible happen to them. There is a Australian official, was it Australian or New Zealand? Here, let me go get this real quick. Only put the link in my notes, dang it. Anyway, there was a guy doing a interview, and it was an official from either Australia or New Zealand, and he had had the second dose about 2 weeks before this this little interview he was doing. He was doing it live on the air. It was being recorded, videotaped, and all that. And he actually got Bell's palsy interview. And you actually ought to go check that video out. It'll be in the show notes. Kind of bizarre to see, but Bell's palsy actually makes it look like you've had a stroke. It's just one side of your, it's one side of your face, includes the eye and the mouth. So those motor nerves don't, they quit working. So it looks like you, half of your face is drooping. Actually comes from herpes virus, I think. I can't be 100% sure, but it kind of acts like it because herpes viruses also affect one or the other side generally, of especially if you get a herpes simplex of your mouth or face, lips, whatever. It usually stays on one side. And Bell's palsy is kind of the same way. I can't remember if it really is associated with herpes virus or not. All right. Wow. That was a bunch of stuff. I wanted to talk a little bit about... Oh, God. I really can't say a lot about the whole Afghanistan thing going on. Pretty crazy if you ask me. I don't know who's pulling the strings on Biden, but somebody's got to be. That guy seems like so whacked out. I had a story. Oh, I'm going to read a little bit of this to you. There are a few things more alarming than hearing Democratic presidents tell reporters that they lack the power to do something. For instead of representing confirmations of the executive branch's limited power, such professions typically serve as overtures to an announcement that they intend to do it nevertheless, which is so true. Before ordering DACA in 2012, then-President Obama said repeatedly that he lacked the authorization to do anything of the sort. I am president. I am not king, Obama said in 2010. I can't do these things just by myself. We have a system of government that requires the Congress to work with the executive branch to make it happen. In 2011, he repeated this asseveration with respect to the notion that I can just suspend deportations through executive order, Obama confirmed. That's just not the case because there are laws on the books that Congress has passed. In 2012, he did it anyway. And you know why? You know why he did it? Because only in the last 6 months did the Supreme Court decide that that was illegal. So it's 2021. So he did this in 2012. 9 years later, the Supreme Court says, no, you can't do that. 9 years. So I guess you can break the law for 9 years and just do it anyway. Last week, President Biden pulled the same trick, having established through an aide that he lacked the authority to issue a national eviction moratorium. The president, Gene Sperling explained, had not only kicked the tires, he has doubled, tripled, quadrupled checked, having publicly noted that the bulk of the constitutional scholarship said that the order was not likely to pass constitutional muster. And having acknowledged that, the Supreme Court had explained that in ordering the measure, the executive branch had exceeded its existing statutory authority. Biden simply changed his mind. Ask why. By Philip Wegman, Biden submitted that he hoped to game the appeals process and keep this going for a month at least. Apparently, the appeals process goes on about, well, I'd say 9 years, something like that. As with the eviction moratorium, President Biden knows that he does not enjoy the power to order universal masking in schools. And as with eviction moratorium, President Biden knows that we know that he does not enjoy the power to order universal masking in schools. He just doesn't care. Why not? Well, because the aim here is not to convince, but to confuse. And President Biden knows that in pursuit of the goal, he can count upon an embarrassment of accomplices willing to sell his burlesque show. And then I went on to explain, you know, the reason they do it, the reason politicians do this is because now they know they can basically do anything because nothing is going to be corrected if it is against our laws in the United States. It's not going to be corrected for 9 years, 10 years, who knows how long. So, kind of interesting. I kind of wonder if the 10 or 15,000 hostages in Afghanistan, American hostages, will take our attention off of COVID, the economy, the pressure to get jabbed. I called him the clown prince of Bel Air, Biden. Worst of all, at a Pentagon briefing Wednesday, when Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin was asked about the U.S. military's capability to get its citizens out of Afghanistan, his answer was jaw-dropping. He said, "We don't have the capability to go out and collect large numbers of people." You have to watch Austin deliver this line to grasp its full air of defeatism about a place where our military has moved about with some impunity for two decades, while General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and a fellow Army lifer, stood by looking as if somebody had just shot his dog. Wow. And, you know, this is really crazy. I absolutely hate CNN, but even the voice of CNN in Afghanistan, this woman reporter, she actually had some comment that is showed up in independent news source that I get. And I was actually surprised. She said this was a complete failure. She kind of describes the scene at Kabul airport with and also I read that Americans are being beaten over there. It kind of reminds me of that whole hostage situation way back when. Was that in the 70s? I think it was in the 70s. Yeah, and there was, what, a 100, 400, I don't know, a few hundred hostages. Maybe there was only 44. I don't remember. I just remember it was like the second Ronald Reagan was elected, they were released. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, another story about 15 million votes not counted. You know, all this distraction, you know, all of this stuff is just being buried left and right, including, you know, Biden's ability to lead anything, especially a country. I guess Kamala Harris will be the first female president here shortly. I just don't see how anybody, including his party, can let him continue. It's so damn embarrassing. Anyway, so yeah, you know, 15 million votes weren't counted. And what else we got? The personal stuff. Now we can get away from the news. I hope you guys really kind of go do some. I mean, I know you guys, especially the ones you guys in the chat room, are so great about providing information. And you seem like you know where the truth is. I just hope to get more people who are looking for the answers, you know, kind of challenge them to go look. The information is out there. It's as true as any other information you're going to see. At least when you get both sides of the story, you can make your own decision about how you're going to live your life, whether or not you're going to get a jab, whether or not you're going to go in public, you know, and participate in life as normal or not. My wife told me today she's not going anywhere this week. I think she is kind of afraid of getting sick. I kind of don't blame her. I mean, you look at this stuff every day. Her brother was supposed to come over on Monday. He was supposed to come over. He lives, oh, I don't know, 20 miles away or so. They live up on a nice hill. And he said he's not going out because he doesn't want to get the variant, you know. And the sad thing is, you know, they've made this just, they've kind of put the fear factor just enough out there. Like, I don't know if my wife, I guess I should have this conversation. I think for a while she was really thinking about going getting the vaccination. And then I think she kind of got away from that whole idea. So I think she's kind of just playing it safe by just staying home. You know, we can do, hopefully they don't cut this off, we can do most of our grocery shopping remotely. We can place an order online, go pick it up. Hell, I don't even get I don't even have to talk to anybody. Basically, well, I do on the phone, you know, pull into a parking spot, call them up, hey, I'm here to pick up my order, I'm in spot number one, and they come out and you pop the hatch on your, you know, SUV, and they put the stuff in, and they hit the hatch button and close it, and off you go. It doesn't seem very humane or sociable to me at all. And I know I'm not going to plan to live the rest of my life like that. But I can see how, you know, people would be fearful one way or the other. You know, fearful of getting the jab, fearful of getting the disease. I'm sure eventually we're all going to get, okay, I'm sure eventually 80% of us are going to experience effects of COVID, real physical effects of COVID. That is kind of the only way I see this being brought into any kind of control. The problem is, what's going to be left? You know, what's going to be, I don't understand how businesses can continue to operate. I know a couple small businesses in the area that, you know, when there's a lockdown, there's no income, you know, and how do you recover from a year and a half in lockdown, you know, and they open it just enough so they can make a little bit of money, a little bit of income, you know, start feeling like they're going to survive. And then boom, they take it away again. You know, Oregon's going into this mandatory mask thing again, you know, in public. And like I said, I mean, if you don't get the new boosters, which I don't even think they're new, I don't think there's anything different about them. It's just the same crap, just another jab. Yeah, I don't know. Don't know how those businesses are doing it. I mean, I know a lot of them have closed down, and I know a lot of them have said they're not coming back. I just don't have any idea how they can. I know for a fact that most of those small businesses that I'm talking about local, like a local restaurant, a local cafe, a local, you know, Mexican food place, a local pizza parlor, not the chain ones, the little mom and pop ones. I mean, they don't have, you know, even in a good year, they're not making millions of dollars. They're not making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Hell, in the dental practice I had in Springfield, that practice made easily over $1 million all except the first year. But a lot of that money goes back into the business. You got to continue to buy supplies. You got to continue maintenance. You got to pay your lease or your mortgage. You got to pay for equipment repair. You know, that money, you don't just put that money in your pocket and go, you know, to the local golf club. Those people work hard to make a living and to pay employees. And what's left, that's what they get. And it's not lavish. It's just not. And here we're, you know, destroying economies all over the world. So what's going to be left? Whether you get the vaccine and die of whatever, or you get COVID and die of COVID, or whether you survive this whole ordeal, what is going to be left, and what is it going to look like? You know, I think I do as much as I can do at every opportunity to tell my friends, people I'm, you know, familiar with. I don't really have friends. We'll get into that later. I mean, I have sort of friends. Mostly, you know, people I work with and stuff, I consider them friends. But I do the best I can at encouraging them to prepare for the worst. No, don't do things now that you could put off for a while. If you could actually make your life a little bit easier, just in case it hits the fan, because it's hitting the fan. This is the biggest fan we've thrown crap at in a long time, and it's flying. So it's time to it's time to prepare, and you know, be ready for whatever. So anyway, I appreciate you guys hanging out, listening. I look forward to seeing you again next week. I'll probably put up a little, you know, bit of this up on Rumble again. That was kind of fun. And I look forward to seeing you guys in chat all week long. And next week right here on the Redneck Dennis Show on Real Liberty Media. Thank you so much.